My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast, into the 8 o'clock hour we go. The people have spoken. I asked yesterday the very important question on the heels of Justin Verlander's third straight start. He's got an ERA of nearly 7 since returning from the injured list. I'm still confident that the old Verlander is in there somewhere and that he'll shake off this rust, but we'll see. Here's the question I pose, Seth, to the people. And yes, there's still 4 hours left to get out and vote. If the playoffs started tomorrow, the Astros would be in a best-of-3 wildcard series with the Royals. Now, the question I'm asking is about Game 3, a decisive Game 3 and a best 2 out of 3. I will point out, this is a team they just swept, so maybe it doesn't even get to a Game 3 with these young Kansas City Royals, this inexperienced Royals bunch. Maybe it does. Who knows? They had the Astros number for a while until they didn't. Here's the question. No-brainer that Framber and Hunter start games 1 and 2. If there were a decisive game 3, who starts game 3? Now, we did this segment a little bit earlier, so Seth has already guessed at this, and guessed accurately, by the way, that I agree with who the voters have picked in this. They picked Yusei Kikuchi. I was very surprised he won by such a substantial, or is winning by such a substantial margin. You were not. You said 65% would say Kikuchi. It's 60.2%, so you're right in the neighborhood there.
I think that it would be interesting if you went directly Kikuchi versus Verlander, exactly how the votes would skew out. Yeah. But I think that if it was just a two-person race, I think that most people, like at this point, if they're responding to your Twitter poll, they're relatively paying attention, and they know how good Kikuchi has been since he got here. We've seen this transformation so many other times. I think the collective memory of Astros fans includes, all right, we've seen this transformation of pitchers when they get here. Yeah, whether it be Gerrit Cole, Charlie Morton, Justin Verlander himself.
Verlander will tell you.
Here. Right. And then also, I don't think there's a great feeling amongst Astros fans that, oh yeah, Verlander's lights out in the playoffs. Yeah. He's had some good performances, he's had some bad ones. But the unknown of Kikuchi, who's only had 1 2/3 innings pitched in the playoffs, and not as a starter. He came in the fourth or fifth inning of a Twins game. People are going to ride that wave. I'm riding that wave.
Yes.
I have never been more happy to be wrong or skeptical about a pickup. So far, it's been awesome with Kikuchi. Right. Look, it's a 3-game series. I'm not worried about the fact that Kikuchi only rarely goes more than 5 1/3 or 5 2/3 innings. It's a 3-game series. Mm-hmm. I want the best pitcher out there for as many innings as he can give me in that game. So I understood most people liking Kikuchi.
Yeah. I think it'd probably be an all hands on deck situation because you're just trying to survive to the next round. But fortunately, the bullpen has been good. I would say Kikuchi, and I would have Arrighetti on the ready there, and we'll see how Verlander's pitching when the year rolls around. I guess I need to remind people, because there's a texter who said, if we go to the wild card, then Valdez starts. And then in the ALDS, .. it's a best two out of three, so it's not a one-game wild card anymore. So
right.
I know that. I could understand Astro fans not knowing that, because they've never had to watch a wild card series in a 162-game season before.
You know? All we know of shortened playoff series was when the Astros began their ownership of the Yankees in 2015.
That's right.
When they decided that, you know what? One thing we're going to do in this playoff run we're going to have over the next decade is to completely, totally, 100% own the Yankees in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And that's when it all started.
Yep.
So, this would be a three-game. It's stressful as all get out because it's so random. And, you know, in a seven-game series, usually things balance out. The better team wins, but it's 100%. It's so random,
yeah,
and your pitching matters so much.
Yeah.
We cannot mess around with the potential starter in a third game of a three-game series.
No, I can't stress enough the importance, I feel like, the importance of catching the Guardians or the Yankees and getting one of those first-round buys and not having to deal with the wild card. You know, forget about, like, hey, we got the pitching, and we can deal with it, and we got the, you know, we can trot three really good starters out there, maybe Kansas City or Minnesota. Can't match our firepower, which I don't think they could pitching-wise right now. I don't want to mess with it. I don't want to mess with the best, especially with Minnesota, after all the trash that I've talked with those people. I don't need them coming back
That's
onto
true.
My
You've
Twitter
been there.
Timeline.
They didn't even physically threaten you. They didn't even, like, put up a fight or anything.
No, and some of them had seen the video. Like, I was in a bar at the ballpark, and there was a Minnesota Twins fan that came up and said they had, I mean, it got, like, a million views. That was.
Did he offer you, he said, hey, can I give you, I'll give you $100 if you stop being mean to us.
You know,
that strikes me as the kind of
the Minnesota thing to do.
Yeah.
So the Astros right now are 4.5 games back of the Guardians. And they are, let's see, just doing the math here. They are five games back of the Orioles, who now lead the Yankees. Yeah, the Rangers walked the Yankees off last night with a grand slam in the bottom of the ninth. That was fun. I was
We're getting to that time of year when the Rangers start helping out the Astros in the playoffs.
Yes,
as long as they're not head to head.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
Thank you, Rangers.
That's
Appreciate
right.
it.
Don't mean to sound dumb, text message here. If we were up by six games in the division, why would we be in a wild card series? Because only the top two division winners get a bye in the first round.
Yeah.
There's six teams. Man, I didn't realize how many people weren't aware of the format. There's six teams.
Well, yeah, it hasn't been a concern for the Astros.
Exactly.
The most part.
No, you're right. You're 100% right. So we were in the wild card last year, someone said. Were we? No, were we in the wild card last year? I guess they faced. I'm trying to remember. No, they weren't in a while. They had a bye last year. They faced the Twins in the ALDS, and they faced the Rangers in the ALCS. The Astros, believe it or not, even though they didn't win the division till the last day of the season, and they won it with 90 games, still were one of the top two teams in the American League because the AL Central was so bad. The Twins won the division with like 85 wins or something like that. So, no, they didn't play in the wild card last year, Texter. So, yes, six teams in each league make the playoffs. Top two division winners get a bye in the first round. It's like I'm taking crazy pills or something.
That's okay. The first guy that asked the question shouldn't feel bad about that because, man, shifting playoff formats among sports are hard to keep track of. The NFL is doing it now. But the second guy should feel bad because he tried to actually you. And he got to the point where he did that thing where he says something and you feel like, wait, am I being stupid here?
Didn't they play Seattle in the wild card? No, they played Seattle in the ALDS 2 years ago, right?
We demand apologies, damn it.
We swept the Mariners. That was in 2022 they swept the Mariners. That was when Yordan hit the home run in game one. Am I going crazy here? Like, do I need to go look this up on Baseball Reference?
I'm not gonna. I never fact check you on baseball.
I'll go look it up. But texters plural. I think you're off base.
No, yeah, Seattle. Because Seattle. No, remember? Yeah, because I went to the Seattle versus Toronto.
Right.
I actually went to the closeout game in that one.
Yeah.
I was at the wild, and then Houston played Seattle. Stop looking at.
Yeah, no. If you're gonna let me just put the bow on this. If you're gonna text things in declaring them as fact, make sure you're correct on the facts. That's all. All right?
Just Google the damn thing before you do.
Yeah, that's it, man. That's all we ask. That's all we ask. I don't go to your place of work and tell you, you know, this is where I could be really condescending. I'm not going to do that. You probably have a very good job, listener. I don't want to do that. You know, they say, I could go to your place of work and tell you how to do some menial task. I'm sure you're very successful. The texts are saying, sorry, Sean, it all runs together for me. Fair enough. Fair enough.
It is. No. And that's where, and honestly, it's
they're in the playoffs so much, and there's been so much playoff success. You know,
they have so many, like they've just played so many playoff games in the expanded playoffs. That's why so many Astros are just our career leaders in various playoff stats, because they've played.
It's the best.
It goes, kids, you got to understand, there was a time in Major League Baseball when the playoffs was the World Series.
Correct. Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
So you're wondering, sometimes you see some of these jaw-dropping stats about how the, you know, various Astros are better than Babe Ruth or whomever else in the playoffs. It's because the playoffs was the World Series.
No.
They would take the best team from the AL and the best team from the NL. And
no.
There you go.
Yuli Gurriel is better than Joe DiMaggio. Period. End of subject. That's the best, seeing Yuli's name on all those lists for first baseman. Like, top first baseman in the history of the postseason. You know, they got... all these Hall of Famers and Yuli Gurriel in the top five. It's great.
That's right, baby.
Yeah. All right.
Which is, it does, it's also a phenomenon where the Astros just, and it's hard for the statisticians to account for it because it's a limited sample size, but they have so much more playoff experience than any other baseball team has ever had when you consider the guys on the team from one year to the next.
Yep.
That it shows up. We've seen it time and time again. Last year's team was not a team that going into the playoffs looked like they deserved to advance to the ALCS and take it down to the wire. But it's they're just like Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs are a different team when they hit the playoffs and the Patriots before them. The Astros are a different team when they hit the playoffs.
The Astros are the Chiefs and the Chiefs are the Astros. I mean just period, end of subject. You point this out. You got this bullet point here I'm looking at. The starting pitching overall, but I'm going to hone in on the starting pitching here. The starting pitching has been so good that Renel Blanco feels like he's just been janky as hell over the last month. And he was actually like decent in August. He had an ERA
he's still
in the mid-threes.
A sub-4 ERA.
Yeah, like he was so good. Like he was in the All-Star conversation at the beginning of the year.
Since the beginning of August, he's got a 3.38 ERA.
That's good.
So that's it's cherry-picking a little bit because he had a bad performance his last one in July. But, I mean, just to put it in easy-to-understand perspective, he hasn't been the same guy, but he's still been a good pitcher. And with him moving to the relief staff now that the schedule is easing up a little bit, I feel very good about him, especially when it comes to piggyback starts in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's good. I'm feeling better and better about the pitching staff, regardless of whether maybe it's a moot point and we don't even have to argue about who the third starter is in the wild card round because they sweep whomever they play. Then it's just back to, all right, you got a really heavy-duty pitching staff that you can piggyback a whole bunch, and you can feel really, really good about it.
Yeah, the problem for Verlander right now is, forget about a wild card. Let's pretend they catch the Guardians, right, and they've got the two seed. The problem for Verlander is I don't know that he's in the rotation in a longer series for this team right now. Like, I'm just talking about who would start game three of a wild card, because we know it'd be Fromber. I think it'd be Hunter for sure. And then the people want Kikuchi. But Arrigetti's got more votes in this thing than Verlander. He's got 10% more of the vote in this poll that I put up than Verlander. Like, Arrigetti is pitching better than Verlander, significantly better than Verlander right now. Like, if that were to continue through the end of the season, then there's conversations about Verlander being on the playoff roster, maybe. Who the hell knows?
I don't think people feel all that awesome. Not negatively necessarily, but they don't get excited about the prospect of like, ooh, playoffs Verlander.
Right.
He just hasn't been that guy in his career in the playoffs. Yep. Hunter Brown, he's only had 10 or 11 innings or so in the playoffs. Hunter Brown's got a 1.69 ERA in the playoffs.
Yeah.
If it weren't for his one game versus the Twins, it would be sub 1.0. That's not the discussion we're having right now. No. But I think we've just seen too many times with the Astros players who are unproven in the playoffs come in and be really, really good.
Right.
Gerrit Cole being a linchpin to success, and et cetera. There's no reason to doubt Kikuchi right now.
Yep. Agreed. Text message, I love that Yuli is on all those lists. One more way he's sticking it to Bagwell for not even calling him and making him an offer before he offered Jose Abreu.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bagwell's not on those lists. Not a ton of playoff success. So, yeah, I don't want to kick Bagwell around today. That's not what I'm here for. I learned years ago not to question Sean. I think there's a lot of people that would say you are not wise, so you should question me. Amy, among them, probably listening right now, say no, question him. Question him for sure. But just
yeah,
not
question
on,
him in a lot of things,
yeah,
especially
but
when it comes
not,
to doing the laundry.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And other various household chores.
That's pretty much it. Not just the... Yeah, you can throw traditional gender stuff aside. It's any household
chore. Any household chore, yeah.
Yeah, fixing a doorknob or something.
Yes.
Whatever
yes.
The task might be, Sean can't do it.
I'm horrible.
Do you know how to do the... Can you load the dishwasher?
I can load... You mean like put the dishes in? Yeah, I can put the dishes in.
Okay. Do you know how to run the dishwasher?
No, God, no. Of course not.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. This is not
Sean,
a radio bit. I don't know how to work the dishwasher.
Sean, the answer to can you run the dishwasher can be answered with do you know how to read? And I know
right.
You know how to read.
Okay.
Like, honestly, all you would have to do is it would take you... It wouldn't. You would. There'd be no figuring out.
Right.
It would just be reading the buttons and pressing them, and you could run the dishwasher.
What you're really asking then is, have you ever run the dishwasher?
You know what? No. And it's true. I'll tell you what. The door to the detergent compartment can be kind of finicky.
It's a little intimidating.
That's the part that would flummox you. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Big time. How? Why are they so? Yes. The latch never gets open for me. I don't know what it is.
Okay, so you've done it, though. You've tried.
I tried, and then I walked away and said, you do this. I'm done.
You're afraid you're going to break the hatch because you had to pull kind of
exactly.
A
that's
hard.
Why I yeah. Walked away. I was afraid I was going to break it for sure. I didn't do it because I was lazy.
Have you ever once considered eating a laundry detergent packet?
I know what laundry
did you ever look
are.
At it and think, you know, it does look a little bit like candy.
They do a little bit. Like the really bright green and silver ones. Yeah.
It's been an issue. It's been an issue with some children out there.
It does. It looks really
tasty. That's true. That is true. There was like a laundry packet challenge or something. I don't know. Between TikTok and kids being dumb, it's been a problem at some point.
An issue with certain children and Sean.
Yeah.
All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. Hey, we had Nick Caserio on yesterday. Favorite part of the conversation, I think, was the exchange he had with Seth on Dameon Pierce. A lot of Texan fans, I think, wondering, what is Dameon Pierce's role going to be for this team come week one? We'll hear about Dameon Pierce, Kenyon Green as well, from the Texans GM, and that is coming up next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. 3-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Nick Caserio was on with us yesterday here on Payne and Pendergast. You can find the entire 45-minute interview on our podcast page. Subscribe to the Payne and Pendergast podcast. Download the Odyssey app. We tell you to do that all the time. I believe it's up on YouTube as well and Twitch if you want to go find it in the archives there. Dameon Pierce, a big topic. You, Seth, went back and forth on Damian Pierce with Nick here. I don't know if the audio captures the whole back and forth, but
yeah.
You had your view on Damian's body composition and Nick had his view on it.
I feel like, you know, Nick doesn't listen to the radio all the time, but I feel like, you know, he listens to us sometimes, and I feel like he's heard my reservations and my concerns about Damian Pierce and very politely tried to shut me down on them.
Your reservations about him being lighter now and not as...
Yeah. And his inability to break tackles over the course of the last calendar year plus.
Correct. Yeah. I think it's a big concern for a lot of Texan fans. It's undeniable that he hasn't been breaking tackles like he used to. Here was Nick Caserio yesterday on our show talking about Damian Pierce.
DP's had a good attitude. He's worked really hard. I think, you know, the weight, I mean, honestly, he's been overblown. I mean, he's got good contact balance. He runs low to the ground. He can break tackles in practice. We're not tackling. We're not bringing anybody to the ground. So you're just looking for just do they execute the assignment? Do they have the right technique? So at some point, we're going to need everybody that's on this football team to make a contribution. So whether it's DP, whether it's Cam Akers, whether it's JJ Taylor on the practice squad, whomever it might be. So DP's had a great attitude. He's had a great approach. He's in condition. He was out there every day. We've talked about this. I've talked about this. I mean, I'd say there's a lot of things that DP dealt with last year on a personal level that not too many people were aware of. And I think that's where you see the intersection of we kind of lose sight of sometimes that they're football players, but we're all people. And we care about them as much as men and people as we do what they do on a football field. I would say overall, DP's in a good spot. I think he's going to help our football team this year. We'll take it one day at a time. And whenever the opportunities present themselves, you're looking for people to capitalize. And, you know, we're not going to jump to any conclusions. We're not going to make any decisions. We're ultimately going to do what we feel is best for the football team. So hopefully your fears can subside here and, you know, you can get a good night's sleep now and not have to worry about that.
And then we had an exchange after that. Yeah. He didn't just, I did say something after that.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing is two things there. One is on the weight side of things. You know, Nick kind of said after that he's not that much lighter than he was at his rookie year. And we kind of had a back and forth about, like, all right, well, like 5 pounds can make a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Force equals mass times acceleration. You can have the same squat. You can have the same bench press. You can be just as strong. But sometimes there's no replacement for just simple body mass sometimes. And I still wonder if that's an issue with Damian. As far as on the personal side of things, that's where, and I saw some people, when I retweeted this, Jonathan Alexander had put the quote in about DP's personal issues last year. And I saw people, I think, having a civil discussion about, okay, well, what does that really matter to us or what have you? I think that it's one of those things that it can be a reason for why he didn't perform last year, but ultimately it doesn't matter. Regardless of whether those personal issues have been resolved or what have you, it's not like you use that as an excuse to keep him on the team. I think what the Texans are looking at Damian Pierce as is right now is that we know that he's got an upside in there somewhere, and we don't want to just bail on that upside, because it's not like the upside of a draft pick. It's the upside of a guy who's been healthy and was a completely different runner in 2022 than he was in 2023. So I think that they look when Nick cites those personal issues or personal problems, I think he's thinking of it not as like, well, we got to be nice to him and keep him around. It's that, well, there are reasons perhaps, and that we've seen enough from him in practice that we feel like that upside is still there. The part that, I mean, Nick brought up the part that you don't tackle in practice.
Yeah.
So I don't think that you can just say, well, yeah, but you can't tackle in practice, but he totally would have broken those tackles.
Right.
You can't say that with a guy who wasn't breaking tackles last year.
You know,
so I think the Texans are still in a position where they're going to give it a chance. That he's a backup running back. That doesn't mean as long as Joe Mixon's healthy, you don't have to rely on him. But they're going to be watching very closely, I think, when he does get his snaps and touches in the game.
Yeah, well, and in a weird way, Cam Akers might be Damian Pierce's best friend in all this, that they actually have a viable solution backing up Mixon. You know what I mean? Like that whatever the issues are that Damian's working through, because he was not as good as Cam Akers and he's not as good as Joe Mixon. that they, at least they've got a solution on the roster that can swallow up those second string snaps while while Damian hopefully gets back to what they envision him being. I've seen a lot of the comparison of Damian Pierce to Jose Abreu with the Astros, where just why is he getting so many chances? Why are they trotting him out there? Why this? Why is he still on the roster? And it is a version of the back of the baseball card. You know, what you just said, Seth, is a version of that, which is, hey man, back of the football card tells us he was really good on a bad team, on a bad offense, with bad play calling. He was really good in 2022. What I would tell people comparing him to Abreu is the difference is that Damian Pierce is still in his athletic prime. He's 24 or 25 years old, whatever he is. He's in year three. Jose Abreu had signs of deterioration that were showing up before the Astros even signed him, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I
think the age, I mean, like the age is the biggest separator there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's, you know, the one thing too, somebody had brought up, I think this is where we've been with the Texans over the last couple of years. Somebody brought up that in the last 2 years to get to Cam Akers and how he's a viable option. You know, he said, well, you know, in the last 2 years, Cam Akers has averaged 3.8 yards per attempt. Like, we're okay. That's good. That's not good.
No.
Like, that's not, like, that's, it's not, I mean, there's plenty of good backs. I mean, look, Saquon Barkley, I think, averaged 3.8 yards per attempt last year.
Right.
He did 3.9 yards per attempt.
Yeah.
But with much heavier usage. So, Cam Akers, you're still taking a flyer on, too. You liked what you saw from him in the preseason. I liked it, but it's, you know, versus vanilla defense, blah, 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 all that other stuff. There's a lot of unknown right now with your second and third string running backs.
No doubt.
I wouldn't be surprised if British Brooks ended up being the best of all the backup running backs at the end of the year, just because it's such an unknown with those other two guys. But there is upside. With both Cam Akers and Damian Pierce, it's very easy to see the potential upside, and you're just hoping that it clicks for them somehow.
For what it's worth, the depth chart came out yesterday, and Joe Mixon is the starter. Damian Pierce is the second string on the depth chart. Hell, Dari Ogunbowale is third string. Cam Akers is listed fourth, and British Brooks is listed fifth. They don't list a fullback right now, so British Brooks is listed as the fifth string running back on there.
Yeah, and I think that, I guess that's part of it, is on the game day. It's one thing with the unofficial depth chart. It's another when you get to game day actives and inactives, where I think Dari Ogunbowale is, he's active on game day.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's the first true test of how much are they actually depending on Damian Pierce. Is do they go in Indy with the three active running backs being Joe Mixon, Damian Pierce, and Dari Ogunbowale?
Right.
What do you think?
I think that I think Damian Pierce is going to be active because I think he's listed on here as kick returner also. That'll be the excuse.
Yeah, yeah. You know? So then that Cam Akers is a good chance he's not active on game day.
I don't know. I think there's a good chance British Brooks is not active.
Right.
Yeah, I think they'll muck the fullback stuff.
Four running backs active on game day is a lot of running backs active on game day.
It is. I think it is. You're right. I don't know that they necessarily view Dare as a running back. You know what I mean? Like, I think he's viewed kind of like how backup linebackers are. Like, it's special. Yeah. He's viewed as more of a special teamer, emergency kicker than that. But you're right, four running backs would be a lot. But I don't think they have a fullback active, so that gives you an extra running back spot. I think they're going to muck. They're going to muck the fullback stuff with the two tight ends there, with Jordan and with Stover.
Going back to the Bill O'Brien days, I just don't even bother. Like, those guys are such awful blockers as fullbacks. It's just, I hate it. I hate seeing guys out there like, hey, we're going to call him a fullback on this play. What do you think?
I'm not saying I love it. I'm just saying that's what I think they're going to do. It's a pure guess.
It's like when my wife thinks I'm a dancer. You know, like, oh, just watch so you think you can dance. Let's go ballroom dancing, Seth. Like, okay.
Please do this.
All right. I'll give it my best shot.
Please film this. Kenyon Green. Let's hear from Nick Caserio on Kenyon Green.
KG worked his ass off this offseason. So he was in the building from the start. He was able to train. When he had the surgery, the shoulder surgery, after the preseason injury last year, there was a period of rehab. And then once the rehab period was over, then essentially he was in the offseason program and he started training. Kind of going back to what with Seth, we discussed here a little bit earlier relative to weight. I mean, Kenyon, that was an area that he needed to improve and kind of clean up. And to his credit, he absolutely did that. He worked really hard. He got himself in good condition. He took to the training. He had a good attitude. He had a good approach. And he was available. I mean, knock on wood, like he's essentially been out there for every snap. There's a couple bumps along the way, but, you know, certainly encouraged by the progress that he's made.
That'd be big, man. If Kenyon Green turns into just an average left guard, that is a huge save for the Texans.
Right. And, yeah, then we can have arguments about whether they wasted a first-round draft pick or something. As long as he's a starter, credible starter, it's a huge improvement over last year, obviously. I do think too, the fact that he was healthy all training camp. I mean, that might be the longest stretch of health we've seen out of Kenyon Green.
For sure.
Not that you should win an offseason award for that or anything, but that's a very promising sign, and I do think he will be better. I think he does have a lot of upside. Athletically, he's a better athlete now than the guy you drafted in the first round.
Yeah.
You know, for whatever that's worth, I think that upside and hope that he always looked like a kid that just had a little bit of physical maturation to do.
Yeah.
That's taken root, and he's responsible for a lot of it with his work ethic. But I'm pretty optimistic about him right now.
All right. The Texans made a signing today. What do we think? The Texans gave Davis Mills a contract extension today. We'll give you the details and we'll hash it out. What do we think of this for Davis? What do we think of this for the Texans? We'll do that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Davis Mills. Davis Mills got a contract extension today. That's what I teased, man.
It was reported this morning, so I'm guessing he got it yesterday. But Adam Schefter, I believe, was the first to report
Rappaport.
That Davis.
Ian Rappaport.
Oh, it was Rappaport?
Yep.
I saw it from Schefter.
Did you?
Whichever one of those guys. Oh, maybe I didn't. Whatever. They're all the same.
I got Rappaport's tweet right here.
Okay. He got a one-year, $5 million extension, which is a bit out of the blue. And honestly, I think a really good move for the Texans. It's curious that Davis Mills would agree to this, just because I think that rolling the dice on free agency for him right now, there's a good chance that he would get a contract, not an earth-shattering contract, but a contract that's a lot better than a lot of Texans fans would expect, just because that's the way it goes with backup quarterbacks these days. I think from Davis Mills' perspective, he probably looks at it as, all right, well, this is in the grand scheme of things, this is a boatload of money by normal people's standards, and I'll get another year or two in this system and maybe an opportunity to play a few games if CJ gets injured, where I've got a good chance over the next 2 years to turn this into an even more lucrative contract.
Yeah.
And that also just maybe genuinely really getting this system down pat and being as good as possible as he could be in it makes him that much more appetizing to teams out there. Perhaps one coached by Bobby Slowick at some point might really look at him as either a good bridge quarterback or a guy that can compete for a starting spot.
Yeah, I want to workshop the Slowick thing here in a second to lay out the exact news on this for people who haven't heard it yet. This is Ian Rappaport's tweet. The Texans and backup quarterback Davis Mills have agreed to terms on a one-year extension worth $5 million in new money. There are also incentives based on playing time that I think anybody in Houston hopes he doesn't hit, because that would mean that C.J. Stroud is out. No offense, Davis Mills. We hope that all you make is $5 million. Mills is now under contract through 2025 with strong backup QB money. So I think that's – so just to frame this, Davis Mills was in a contract year right now in 2024. He was in the last year of his rookie deal. This tacks another year on. So Davis Mills is here 2020, barring a trade, 2024 – and in 2025, and I'm with you, Seth. I think 1 year, $5 million, I think is a really good deal for the Texans to have their quarterback room, number one and number two quarterbacks, solidified over these next couple of years. I think it's interesting that Davis Mills was the backup for most of last season until they decided, once they needed a backup, to go to Case Keenum. That I think it says probably a lot about Davis Mills' growth as a quarterback, that they're willing to do this now when last year they weren't even willing to let him start a game against the Tennessee Titans in Nashville, nor a game at home against the Cleveland Browns. I think also, too, a lot of people talk about Davis Mills being Nick Caserio's first pick. as GM. Oh, when he was picked with the 67th pick in the draft, he was the eighth quarterback taken in the 2021 draft, and he was taken right after Kellen Mond and Kyle Trask, who, like, Mond, I don't even know, Mond's still in the league. And Kyle Trask, I think I saw him still bumping around with the Buccaneers, but he hasn't made an impact. Baker Mayfield's their quarterback. And people say, man, that was a wasted pick. And I would say even if they didn't sign Davis to this contract, that it wasn't. Like, if you get your backup quarterback / starting quarterback for some of the time with the 67th overall pick, I don't think people realize how rare it is that, not rare, but how frequently third-round picks just don't work out. Like, they don't work out oftentimes. And that Davis Mills now is getting a second contract to be the backup quarterback, that pick was a success at 67th overall, you know?
It's always dicey with that, I guess, just because, all right, if the GM that drafted you is the one that retains you and you're still not a starting quarterback or whatever, all right, with it, you don't really know how the rest of the league feels about Davis Mills until he does either hit free agency or get traded. But so far, yeah, if you separate everything else out from it, and it was a guy that had 13 starts in college,
so he was
very raw in a lot of respects. I think that, look, the time in the system matters. How much time have you spent in the system? This system in particular, reps matter a lot. And he was a guy last year who had been through two previous offensive coordinators, not a whole lot of great support around him. If what you're hoping for is just a guy that can steady the ship or at least just play at a 500 clip while the starter is out, whatever your bar is for backup quarterbacks, I think he is that guy now.
Yeah.
So the other part of it for the Texans is, why I'm kind of surprised that Davis Mills agreed to it, is that now the Texans have control, and at any time over the next two seasons, they could trade him.
Yeah.
And it's like at some point over the next two seasons, there's a really good chance that a starting quarterback in a Kyle Shanahan tree system gets injured. And there's a good chance that the Texans get an offer that they'll have to think about.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. A lot of people have brought up the Slowik angle to this. And so if, you know, Bobby Slowik, let's pretend Bobby Slowik gets a job after this season. Let's pretend for a second this offense looks like what we think it's capable of looking like, that it's got a competent running game to go along with an otherworldly passing game. And Bobby Slowik is right in the mix again for the 5 to 10 jobs that are open next year, and he gets one of those. That part makes this deal a really smart deal for the Texans, too, in that if Bobby Slowik were to want to bring Davis Mills with him to be a bridge quarterback, or maybe even be the starting quarterback, you know, maybe Bobby sees him every day in practice and how he works behind the scenes. Maybe he feels like when Matt Schaub came to the Texans, he was a backup on the Atlanta Falcons, but he was a high-level backup that they traded 2 second-round picks for. I'm not saying somebody's going to trade 2 twos for Davis Mills. What I am telling you is I think there's a chance someone trades you more than a day 3 pick for Davis Mills.
That's the other part of this, is that, I mean, if we talk about a trade that would happen this season, how much higher is his value now
that he's locked
whoever
up?
Whoever trades for him has one extra year of control.
That's a great point.
It doesn't have to be that, well, the Texans, now they have the ability to trade him next offseason or 2025 or what have you during the season. It's also that, any team that wants to take a flyer on Davis Mills, maybe there's some team whose season goes south, they hate their quarterback or they've got an old quarterback and they want to take a flyer on Davis Mills. They don't have to figure it out in just a half a season.
Yeah.
They've got one extra year of control. So I think you could argue whether or not Davis Mills should have done this extension. I think from a Texans perspective, I think it makes a lot of sense in a lot of ways.
I'm with you. I'm with you on this. I'm very curious to hear from Davis Mills on this, because I think he could have made more money if he just hit the market next year. Like, I think there was more financial upside to him just sitting behind C.J. Stroud for a year, maybe even getting in with this set of receivers and playing a couple of games, looking really good, and getting paid. C.J. Stroud is supposed to meet with the media today, I believe. This is the first quarterback appearance of the season, you know, heading into a game.
Ooh.
I want to hear from C.J. Stroud, obviously. I hope they put Davis Mills at the podium today. I'm very curious as to what his thinking is behind signing this extension.
This is going to flip a dynamic upside down. The one that I always find interesting, like during training camp, Noah Brown got up for his press appearance, and I felt kind of bad for Noah Brown because I think the first seven questions were about Diggs. Either Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins, or Tank Dell.
Yeah.
Isn't it awesome, all of these guys that are on the team now that are ultimately going to push you off the roster?
Right.
This is C.J. Stroud, clearly the number one guy that you know, people ask questions. I feel like C.J. Stroud, the first couple questions might actually be about Davis Mills.
I hope they are.
Not nearly as uncomfortable for Davis Mills or for C.J. Stroud in answering those questions.
He's okay.
But still.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, just to be sure.
Yeah.
This is vitally important.
Yeah, yeah.
What time was that Ian Rappaport?
Oh, I knew you were going to check this.
I'm pretty sure Chef – and I – yeah, this – I'm not trying to win –
6:52 a.m. to answer your question.
Yeah, Rappaport was at 6:44. Schefter was at 6:44.
Oh, okay, so Rappaport is 8 minutes after. Okay.
It makes sense now because Rappaport's tweet was at 52 after the hour, and we had all these people that were upset that we weren't talking about it.
Yeah.
Like, we were going to break. It's because Schefter had reported
it. Yeah,
I
didn't see the push notification. Sorry about that. I should check that before headlines.
Don't apologize. Don't apologize. I'm giving Schefter his due as the guy that actually reported it.
First. No. But for people who are like, talk about this. All right, I wasn't expecting a Davis Mills contract extension right before headlines. Sorry. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. How can the Texans trade him in season? What about our own backup needs? Right. I mean, they would balance
they'd have to have somebody else in reserve, or if it would just for them to trade him in season this year, I think it would have to be way more than you'd expect to get for Davis Mills.
Yeah, like
it
I
would
think
have to be something awful juicy.
A Godfather offer, no doubt. Yeah, an offer you can't refuse. That's how they.
No, listen, this is one thing you never ever do. I see people do this all the time. Never say that a trade wouldn't happen or can't happen because of logical reasons.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
When in your time watching football have you seen logic or rational thought be a barrier to a trade?
Exactly. All right.
There's some team out there that might make a ridiculously absurd offer for Davis Mills that the Caserio just can't turn down.
Could happen. Yep. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you heading into the 9 o'clock hour. All right. We heard D'Amico Ryans earlier scouting the opponent. How about a little self scouting from the Texans head coach? What is the one big thing the Texans have to do better to beat the Colts in week one? We've got that for you coming up next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.